The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advice offered through Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Welcome back to Financial Focus Radio Show. Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management has offices in Bend, Eugene, and John Day, serving clients from all over the Northwest. Give us a call today for your free retirement review. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Financial Focus Radio. My name is Tyler Simone. This is that guy over there. He is Josh Finelli, the one and only, ladies. If you want to be part of the show, call us. 877-670-7117. So this is a situation where correlation doesn't necessarily equate to returns. So correlation in our world, in the investment world, is how much something trades together or not. So if it's highly correlated, that means it would trade in a similar fashion. So one security would trade similarly to another. If it's not correlated, then one security wouldn't trade similarly to the another. So the correlation between U.S. stocks and U.S. bonds over the last 3 years is the highest it's ever been at 0.69. So one would be perfect correlation. So the fact that it's this highly correlated is very abnormal. But even though stocks and bonds have been moving in tandem more than ever before, correlations aren't equaling returns. Case in point, the SPY, which is the S&P 500 index tracker, gained 29% over the last 3 years versus a 10% decline for the U.S. bond as measured by the aggregate bond index. Simply put, rising interest rates have hurt bonds much more than they have hurt stocks. Historically, rising interest rates have been a headwind for both asset classes. But apparently the U.S. stock market is never going to go down again as long as Jerome Powell has his way. And so it's quite interesting that, you know, to see a rate rise from rates go from zero to 500 basis, 525 or 550 basis points in the shorter period as they had historically, that would have been really bad for stocks. But I don't know what's normal anymore.
Market knows that you're stupid if you're buying 10-year at 465 bips, though. Right.
I think does the market?
I think so.
I mean, yeah, I guess. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, the reality is the amount of institutional money that was long bonds that got
completely
their, you know what, handed to
yeah.
them.
Well, 5% on the 10-year is kind of an inflection point where stocks tend to not do so well past 5% on the 10-year, at least
because of the competition.
Yeah,
of that
at least in the immediate near term.
Yeah, I mean,
there's. But again, like stability in yields matters because it's on the margin. If you don't know what the yield's going to be and you're expecting it to be higher, of course you're going to be hesitant to deploy money into equities. So it's more about less volatility in yields to when people are making that allocation decision, and that really matters.
All right. So, yeah, I agree with that 100%. So this is when we get geopolitical uncertainty, like we're seeing now in the world, and obviously there's plenty of it to go around the world, the situation in Ukraine, the situation in the Middle East with Israel and Iran and Gaza and all of that can make people very nervous and make people want to do something crazy with their money. But I'm looking at the S&P 500 returns after major geopolitical events. So think of like the Cuban Missile Crisis, those sort of big deals. And the average return of the S&P 500 after major geopolitical events going back to 1940 is a little over 13%. That's the 12 months following the geopolitical event. So historically, while these things can be scary when they're happening, of course, the Cuban Missile Crisis, I wasn't around, but that I'm sure was quite scary. Life as we knew it could have changed. But, you know, I feel like we're close to that at any point because of the amount of countries now that have actual nuclear arsenal. You know, here's the deal. If World War III happens, it doesn't matter if you have any money because none of us are going to be here. So keep investing. Hopefully nothing awful happens and that 13% will be on average achieved. Okay. So one of the things that exists in the market place and has been prolific with really wealthy individuals over the last decade because of the interest rate environment, has been something called securities-based lending. And so I'm not talking about having a margin account, borrowing on margin in your investment account. What I'm talking about is your taxable brokerage account. So your taxable investment account that you might have individually, or it might be a trust account, or it might be a joint account with your husband or wife. That's the kind of account I'm talking about. And so if you think about all of these wealthy people on the planet, you know, people that have, when I say really, like 100 million plus, they all have these kind of accounts. That's where most of their money is because there's caps on how much you can contribute to a retirement account. So, you know, when you think of, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos, these people have most of their net worth in their stock. Zuck has it mostly in Facebook. Bezos has it mostly in Amazon. They've diversified since, but most of these people have their net worth in stock, in actual publicly traded businesses. And instead of selling these shares in Facebook or whatever company they own and using that money to live on, what they do is they have a relationship with a bank where they do securities-based lending. So they borrow against their giant positions. So it's not a taxable event. In fact, this is the ironic part. They get to deduct the interest in a lot of cases that they pay on that. In some cases, the interest was essentially zero because they had so much money. But so you can use your taxable investment account as collateral to borrow money to fund certain things like funding a business, buying real estate, securities-based lending. You can't buy individual stock, but depending what's in your portfolio will determine how much you can borrow against it. So like in a lot of cases, like at our custodian or a Schwab, for example, if you have US treasuries, short-term treasuries or a money market, you can borrow 100% against that position. If you have like a large cap ETF or exchange traded fund or mutual fund, you can borrow up to 65% against that position. So a lot of people have a tremendous amount of borrowing power. Now, interest rates have moved up, so it's become less attractive. But for a lot of you out there listening right now, this is a way that you can leverage that account, especially if you need the money to access the money for short-term purposes, instead of doing a bridge loan, a lot of the case that can be very expensive, the loan origination fees and all the interest rates you're going to be paying. Right now, I think for most of these securities-based loans that exist, the rate's somewhere between 7.25% and 7.6%. So it's not cheap, but you're just paying the interest, right? So if you have a short-term funding need for something, you can say, okay, I'm going to borrow against my taxable investment account. You know, if you have a $1 million taxable investment account, you might be able to borrow up to $650,000, depending what's in there, maybe $850,000. And you just pay monthly interest payments on there. And you access that money just like it's in a bank account. In fact, they most cases set up a checking account where you're accessing that money. And you can use it for anything. You just can't use it to buy more stocks or bonds. And so for a lot of people out there listening, now, and I'm not saying it to use the money to live your life like the ultra rich, but that's how the ultra rich were paying such low tax rates, is they weren't even having to sell securities. You know, if you think about these big, really wealthy people that own stock that doesn't pay a dividend, so their tax liability was essentially zero because they were borrowing against their huge portfolio to fund their lifestyle. And it's not illegal, and you know, they're really not doing anything wrong or illegal. It's just when you have a lot of money, life becomes very easy to sort of cheat in air quotes the tax code. And so, but all of you out there listening, you're sort of the vast majority of the people probably listening right now have probably a brokerage account or investment account like that. And when these needs come up, this is a really easy way for you to access funds. It doesn't take a long time to get these things set up. It might take, 48 hours to get this thing set up where you have access to the money, but it can provide you some short-term funding needs where you're not forced to sell securities and pay taxes. That's the most important part. Now, if, you know, what hits the fan and, you know, you need to, you would also to pay the loan back. If you had to do that quickly, you would have to sell securities. But securities-based lending is something that has been around for quite a while. It's how the wealthiest people in the world sort of live their life on securities-based lending. But for a lot of sort of the mass affluent out there, it's another really good option, especially if you need some short-term funding rather than doing some form of a bridge loan. It's a great option. All right. If you'd like to take one of us up on a free retirement review, one of us will give you an hour of our time to talk about anything in your financial life. So if you have at least $500,000 of investable assets, call our office to get that scheduled. The number here is 800-743-0988 or go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about portfolio, investment portfolio construction for retirees. So stick around.
Get your free one-hour retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management Investment Advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Give us a call today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988. No one else can bring you are here. FM News 100.1, 1110 KBND.
Tune in to KBND every Tuesday for Experts on the 20 at 6:20 and 8:20 a.m. to learn how you can save with Coenergy Propane's renewable energy source for your home and business. Coenergy, providing our local communities with clean, positive energy. Coenergy.net.
Now is your time to get into a new D.R. Horton home by taking advantage of their National Red Tag Savings Event going on right now through April 21st. Stop by any of their participating communities and find select Red Tag homes at incredible pricing. So whether you're buying your first home or looking for an upgrade, you don't want to miss the Red Tag Savings Event going on right now. Discover the D.R. Horton difference at drhorton.com. D.R. Horton, America's builder and equal housing opportunity builder. Oregon CCB 130859.
Financial Focus Radio Show is online all the time via iTunes, Spotify, and Spreaker. Catch past shows online or by finding us on iTunes.
Welcome back to Financial Focus Radio. Thanks for joining us. If you want to sign up for our e-newsletter, Josh and I do a video in the middle and end of every month where we talk about what is going on in these markets of ours. So to get added to the e-newsletter list, just go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Add your email there, and that is the only thing that we will send you. So the S&P total return since the early 1980s is a 100-bagger. Since the mid-80s, the S&P is a 50-bagger. Since the early 90s, the S&P is a 30-bagger. And since the late 90s, the S&P is a 10-bagger. Compounding takes time, but it works if you're patient enough. So as Albert Einstein famously said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And it works really well in investing. I mean, if you look at how wealthy Warren Buffett was, most of his wealth was attained after his 80th birthday because of that snowball rolling down the hill.
Oh boy, the late Charlie Munger.
Well, Charlie spent a lot more. And Charlie was never nearly as rich as Warren.
Yeah, but the first rule to compounding is never interrupt it.
Right, right, yeah. Of course. Yeah, I mean, Buffett's two rules in investing. Rule number one is don't lose money. Rule number two is don't forget the first rule. And so don't interrupt the compounding by making stupid decisions with your money. Invest all the time and always and stay invested, and you will be surprised at what that can do, which means you don't have to have all your money invested all the time. You know, there's certain things like college or buying a house or certain things you're going to have to pay for before retirement. And so you're going to invest that money differently. And of course, we know that to be true. And so you should be thinking along those lines. It's the longer term money that you should just be plowing into the market every single month. And don't stop, and no matter what the market does, keep doing it. Our clients, we have a lot of clients on our list of clientele here that never made really tons of money, but they have really big investment accounts because that's exactly what they did. They set up an automatic investment plan, and they stuck to it no matter what the market did. And if you think going back Go back to 1981 and think about all the things that have happened around the world. There was always, every single year, a reason not to invest in stocks. But if you did, you have been very handsomely rewarded 100 times. I mean, it's crazy. And that compound interest will be true over the next 40 years. So is this right now what we're experiencing, the start of a correction? Given the backdrop of higher inflation, higher interest rates, and the recent extreme bullish sentiment we saw at the end of the first quarter, it certainly wouldn't be surprising if this was the beginning of a pullback. The average year has 3 to 4 pullbacks of 5% or more. A similar pullback here would be perfectly normal. What would be more abnormal is if a correction doesn't come in 2024. So when we don't have a correction in a given year, that is very abnormal. We usually have about 4 corrections of 5% or more in a year. And if you think back to last year, we had 2 really significant corrections. One when Silicon Valley Bank failed in March, and then in October, yet the market had a banner year. And so, you know, last year there were 2 really significant reasons for people to want to be shaken out of the market. But if they stayed the course, they did quite well. Okay, Mr. Finelli, this is something we talk about quite often, but we thought it's always worth reminding people about portfolio construction for retirees. So before Josh talks about the actual like nuts and bolts of how we go about doing it and why, one of the things that's important to know as an investor is the majority of your portfolio's returns are derived from your asset allocation. So meaning where your money is actually allocated, large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, you know, bonds, all that stuff. So the driver of a portfolio's return, most of it comes from the allocation, getting your allocation right.
That's
not the underlying investment.
That's per Vanguard, 90 plus percent is what asset classes you're actually picking and what percentage is devoted to each asset class.
Yeah, so Josh, so that being true, like the reason we use ETFs that are low cost and tax efficient efficient is if the getting the asset allocation right is the most important thing, then we should just use the most tax efficient low cost options to get that exposure is how we think about it. I'd love to hear somebody else's rationale for doing anything other. And don't tell me to beat the market because that's stupid. So Josh, talk about how we build portfolios, especially for our retired clients, and why we do what we do.
Well, we understand the hesitancy that surrounds generating income from a portfolio, or really the hesitancy around how do you construct a portfolio when you're approaching retirement and going to be pulling income off of the portfolio in maybe 2, 3, maybe even a year forward. And so, you know, for us, like the starting point in terms of building that portfolio is what is the actual distribution rate going to be? And that can be in absolute dollars or percentage terms. It's different for each people. But the idea around that is, you know, you need to be able to have a dollar. A dollar has to be a dollar when you know you're absolutely going to be taking it as a withdrawal from your portfolio. And so, for instance, if you kind of take that fact, you know, a 4% distribution rate, for instance, and you say, or $50,000 a year, whatever it is, and say, well, I'm going to need to be able to withstand an atrocious bear market like 2008. You're going to need at a bare minimum 5 years at 4%, so 20% of your overall portfolio in fixed income that is going to be of a relatively constant dollar value when you need to actually spend it. You have to be able to turn to the risk reducing side of your portfolio during a bear market. And, you know, then we take that fact and figure and try to ascertain sort of the individual risk tolerance and purpose of our clients, because, you know, ultimately we believe that purpose should be the motivating factor for how you're invested. And so that's why age is less of a relevant criteria for us as opposed to what ultimately the money is for or what the aims of the client are. And so we sort of try to, the interface of those two realities is where we get to our allocation. And very simply, we say our risk reducers need to be a dollar absolutely when we need them. And then the other side of the portfolio is return enhancers. And it has been true for many years, and it hasn't always been true, but the return enhancing side for us right now is simply low cost index funds. There may be a
stock exposure.
Yeah, there may be a time when that changes and it more resembles, you know, the asset class characteristics of the 80s and 90s, where return enhancers can come from different assets. But as we exist today, that's very simply short-term treasuries on the risk reducing side. and stock index funds on the return enhancing side.
So the one thing that we know to be true is that for all of our clients, ourselves included, there are going to be many bear markets in their retired lifetime. So if somebody on average is retired 30 years, we know that they're going to experience significant bear markets in that period. The problem for us and our clients is we don't know when those are going to happen. So they have to have enough risk in their portfolio so their portfolio grows, that they have purchasing power protection that comes from the stock side of the portfolio. But we also know that in those bear markets, we need to have a place to go in their portfolio that we know is going to be there so we can let the stock part of their portfolio recover when inevitably stocks recover. And so that's why the portfolio construction for retired people is so darn important, getting that right. Because if you're selling stocks when stocks are down, they never have a chance to recover. And so that's why the asset allocation value add is so much more for retirees, is getting that right. Because the bear market's going to happen. We just need to be able to leave stocks alone. Now, if stocks are going straight up like they were in 2021, you're going to be selling stocks to generate that income because they've become such a big part of your portfolio. So getting that distribution right and getting the allocation right is so vitally important so that you're not making huge mistakes in retirement. Because remember, you don't have the ability to make it back and sort of do a do-over once you're retired. All right, if you want to be part of the show, you have a question or a comment for us, give us a call, 877-670-7117, or go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com, and send us an email. When we come back, we're going to talk about annuities. What are they and how do they work? So stick around.
Sign up for our e-news today. Get the latest thoughts on the market every other week from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management delivered right to your inbox. The short 5 to 6 minute video helps you keep up with the market. You can always watch past videos on YouTube or northwestquadrantwealth.com.
Traffic, the most weather. FM 100.1 is News Talk 1110, KBND, Bend.
High Desert Chamber Music invites you to the season finale of their 16th season, brought to you by German Master Tech. The final event of the HDCM concert series features our resident group and crowd favorites, the Crown City String Quartet. This group will be premiering a newly commissioned work by Hollywood composer and Bend local Chris Thomas. You won't want to miss this exciting season finale. This concert is brought to you by Hayden Holmes and takes place Friday, May 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Join members of the quartet for a pre-concert talk about the program beginning at 6:45 p.m. Details and tickets at HighDesertChamberMusic.com. Title sponsors include German Master Tech, Miller Lumber, Hayden Holmes, Pine Tavern, Drew Family Dentistry, Three Graces and Company, Cascade A&E, Central Oregon Daily, and Combined Communications. High Desert Chamber Music. This is your last chance to come hear the music.
If you love great food, drink, and supporting a good cause, join U.S. Bank's Foodie Crawl for Neighbor Impact Sunday, April 28th for a unique pub crawl and dinner event. Enjoy food and beverage pairings from Ben's Top Chefs and help Neighbor Impact feed 60,000 people monthly. Tickets and info at neighborimpact.org/foodiecrawl. That's neighborimpact.org/foodiecrawl. Sponsored by U.S. Bank, Cascade National Gas, Portland General Electric Collective, Umpqua Bank, COHC, The Source Weekly, Central Oregon Daily, and Combined Communications. Spring is here, and we are upgrading our showrooms at Cascade Mattress and Bedroom Furniture in the Bend Factory Stores at Cascade Mattress and Home Furniture in downtown Redmond. Right now is the best time to save on in-stock mattresses and accessories at the remodeling sale.
Locally owned Cascade Mattress is freshening up and giving you the best for less on top brands, including Stearns & Foster, Sealy Hybrid, and the new Tempur-Pedic. Even savings on in-stock luxury Posh & Lavish.
While supplies last, up to 50%
80% off select in-stock Tempur-Pedic floor models and Posh and Lavish.
All Maluf and Tempur-Pedic sheets, pillows, and top-quality protectors up to 50% off.
Get into a queen-size mattress starting at only $399.
And king-size in-stock mattresses start at $599.
Test local, see local, and save local at Cascade Mattress and Furniture's remodeling sale. Going on now at the Ben Factory Stores and downtown Redmond.
CascadeMattress.com or call 678-REST.
Did you know one of the best investments you can make? It's in yourself. At My Computer Career, in just a few months, you could start your new career in the high-demand, recession-resistant field of information technology. Isn't it time you invest in you and start a career in networking, cybersecurity, AI, or upskill to boost your current IT career? So, get the ROI you deserve at My Computer Career. No experience necessary. Start now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
The mission is clear. Give honest, transparent analysis and actionable advice every week. Make sure to connect with us on YouTube and get our twice monthly e-newsletter.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Financial Focus Radio. We appreciate you spending some of this lovely weekend here in the Pacific Northwest. Summer is coming. We appreciate this time of year. I appreciate this time of year. I know Josh gets sad because ski season is coming to an end, but it's bikini season coming up, and that's why I get excited. Oh, man.
Katarina in a bikini.
Jeez. Whoa. Careful. Josh, I mean, this is pretty interesting. This comes from Verdad. And so there's historically been, over the last 15 years, as interest rates have been close to zero, this huge preoccupation with private equity investments. So companies that are not public, you know, there's historically, you've heard about all of these venture capital firms, especially in the Valley, Silicon Valley, that have become phenomenally wealthy, and their founders have become phenomenally wealthy investing in, you know, Facebook and Google and, you know, pre going public. And they were the original funding sources. And of course, that made them phenomenally wealthy. And as time went forward, you know, there were less and less good ideas, but more and more money was going into the private equity space because the returns in the beginning were so unbelievable. And if you think about like Silver Lake Partners or some of these big VC firms in California, you know, they were investing in these companies. They were investing in a lot of different companies, but they would have one winner that was up so much that their portfolio looked really, really good. And then that attracted more and more money. And they were living off sort of one or two good investment decisions that were really more luck than anything. They would tell you otherwise, but that's just the truth. And then so more and more money went into the private equity space. So there were fewer and fewer good ideas, but more and more money was going into that space. And now when you look at the private equity world, when you look at private equity businesses, because so many companies in that private equity space that are zombies and really shouldn't be ongoing businesses keep operating because they keep getting funding. When you look at the margins on some of these businesses, so you look at the margins on this margin on the S&P, EBITDA margin on the S&P, it's something like 24%. When you look at the margins in the private equity space, it's 8%. When you look at free cash flow margins on the S&P, it's something like 10%. When you look at free cash flow margins on these private equity firms, it's zero. So, you know, to outperform the market, a company generally needs to grow faster than the market, generate a higher free cash flow yield than the market, or see valuation multiples rise in the market. In 2023, private equity companies grew slower than public markets and generated a lot less free cash flow, yet money is still being allocated there. There is a good chance that somebody out there listening to this show right now, their financial advisor is investing some of their money in private equity investments. They're not doing it directly, but there's now the ability for retail investors to buy private equity investments. It is a disaster. The fees are really high. You should not be doing it. It's not tax efficient. The fees are really high, and the returns continue to shrink. Well, stay away.
It worked really well for a long time when rates were low, and now we're at the inflection point where, you know, they're basically using a bunch of leverage and other people's money. And so the mix, the recipe is there for a prolonged period of underperformance. And if you own
a
bunch of business development companies, like, you are going to be the one left holding the bag here over the next few years. And this is, there's a lot more to come on this story for sure.
So, you know, we talk a lot on the show, and people talk about the boogeyman that is China. And I still worry about China, of course, because they have the ability to – they're fine with their people suffering and, you know, and all of the things that they do in China that aren't human rights, you know, when you think about human rights. But one of the things, when you look at their circumstances and their situation, they are in rough shape. I mean, especially their youth, you know, the only ability to have one child, that is coming back to bite them. So if you go back to 2019, UN estimated that Chinese working age population would shrink by 40% over the remainder of the century. In the latest estimate, the UN says, that, which was published in 2022, the US says they see a 60% drop in working age population in China. And even that's probably a little bit optimistic. So China has their own sort of demographic problems. You know, they're going to have, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for China. Okay, so one of the things I thought we'd talk about in this segment is annuities. When the market gets volatile, like we're seeing right now, so-called financial advisors, we call them financial salespeople, start to talk about a solution that they have for you, their client, and one of those things happens to be an annuity. And just so you know, there are lots of different kinds of annuities. And so I'll go through. There's something called an immediate annuity where you give an insurance company a fixed amount of money and they say, we'll pay you this amount for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. There's a variable annuity where your money gets invested in the stock and the bond market, but you own an underlying insurance contract that you can annuitize that has some death benefit conceivably, where there'll be a rider on there, or you can have some income benefits. There's indexed annuities that are indexed to, say, the S&P 500, but have some downside protection. And then there's fixed annuities where it's in like an accumulation thing where you say to an insurance company, you know, what's the rate you'll pay me to get tax deferral on this money? Let's call it 4.5%. They'll have a 4.5% interest rate and maybe some floor of something like 3% that it won't go below 3%. And then the idea is at some point you would annuitize that and turn that into an immediate annuity type income stream. And so there are situations where Josh and I think that an annuity does make some sense. It's very small percentage of cases out there where it makes some sense. So like, let's say you're a grandparent and you're giving money to grandkids, but they're spendthrifts, something like an immediate annuity where you can guarantee them an income stream for the rest of their life might make some sense. If you are a very risk averse person out there, an immediate annuity might make some sense for some of your money to say, okay, I'm going to get some guaranteed income from Social Security and maybe a pension. I'd like one other sort of leg on my stool of guaranteed income from an insurance company, and an immediate annuity, maybe with an inflation protection hedge, might make some sense. The rest of the annuities out there, Josh and I are not big fans of.
Medicaid compliance is another one.
That's a real small.
Yeah, really small. You need to protect assets. Spouse is going into long-term care. That's another scenario that we're totally fine with.
But the rest of them, and the vast majority of annuities that are sold, are indexed annuities or variable annuities. And they are made to sound great by the person selling them. They'll say, you know, like, you can be in the market, you get the market returns, but there's also these underlying guarantees. And so when you think about that, just think about it, take away what it really is. So if I said to you, like, I will guarantee you a 6% income stream, no matter what the market does, but if the market does well, you'll get that guaranteed income and step up. And then I'll also give you a death benefit guarantee that, you know, whatever the high water mark is on your annuity contract, I'll give you that even if your annuity contract is less than that when you die. So if I told you that, you would say, wow, that all sounds really good. And maybe it is for some of you. But of course, all of these insurance companies issuing these policies are for-profit businesses. They're not in the business of losing money. And so they charge you accordingly, right? They say, okay, if you're going to make us take all of this market risk, we're going to charge you fees in accordance so that we make money over that period. Oh, and by the way, they pay giant commissions to the salespeople selling them to entice them to sell these products. Because at the end of the day, if everybody knew all that goes into an annuity and what an annuity is and how much an annuity costs, very few people would buy them. Nobody's ever come to our office, not one time ever, and said, hey guys, I want to buy an annuity. That's never happened, and I doubt it ever will happen. And so they are sold, right? In order for us to to get our clients to buy an annuity, we don't have to sell it to them. And that's what's happening out there in the world. And so if you totally understand the annuity you're buying and every, all the total fees that are going into this and you still want to buy it, fine. But the reality is most people don't know that a lot of these annuity contracts that they are buying, their fees are north of 3.5%. Sometimes they're upwards of 4% on an annual basis, right? So if you have a $100,000 annuity, your fee might be $3,500 or $4,000 a month all in. And oh, by the way, you might have a surrender penalty if you leave the contract early, that you'd have this penalty. Oh, and by the way, also, when you die, when you have a non-qualified annuity, you don't get a step up in basis. So your heirs inherit the original basis. So, you know, there are some annuity contracts that do make some sense, being immediate annuities for very specific cases. But most of these annuity contracts that are being sold out there right now are good for the person selling them and the insurance company issuing them. And, you know, when you look around the table, when you're playing cards and you can't figure out who the patsy is, guess what? It's you. All right. If you want to take one of us up on a free retirement review, one of us will give you an hour of our time to talk about anything in your financial life. So if you have at least $500,000 of investable assets, call the office to get one of those scheduled. The number here is 800-743-0988. When we come back, we're going to tackle your emails, so stick around.
Get your free one-hour retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management Investment Advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Give us a call today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza, you can purchase insurance to protect your life's possessions? Your landlord's insurance won't cover your belongings in a fire or theft. Make sure to protect yourself and your valuables. Buy renter's insurance. It covers your belongings, provides liability protection, and may pay for additional living expenses, such as hotel bills or restaurant meals, if a covered loss forces you to temporarily move out. Renter's insurance is affordable. It often costs less than $20 a month. Ask your insurance agent or company about multi-policy discounts when purchasing renter's insurance. The Division of Financial Regulation has a shopping tool to help you compare renter's insurance policies. Go to dfr.oregon.gov and type renter's insurance into the search bar. Spending that pizza money on renter's insurance will protect you when you need it the most. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Did you know TS&S Ford in Madras is on its fourth generation of ownership?
Did you know
TS&S Ford founders homesteaded Jefferson County in the 1800s?
Did you know
TS&S Ford is the only medium-duty Ford dealer in Central Oregon and that they have a huge selection of dump trucks, work trucks, and commercial vehicles? They also specialize in high performance. They're Oregon's only Shelby truck dealer, and TS&S is home to the official Harley-Davidson F-150 and F-250 trucks.
Did you know
TS&S offers zero APR? On select models with approved credit. And the TS&S finance team has decades of experience with good credit, bad credit, and no credit at all. Now you know. TS&S Ford in Madras open every day. Swing by or give them a call at 541-475-7204. Or check them out online at madrasford.com. Drive a little, save the most. TS&S Ford on Highway 97 in Madras. A Thomas family dealership serving Central Oregon for over 87 years.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
This is Kerwin with Mid-State Power Products in Redmond. The Kubota Orange Day sales event is a big deal. Here's why. Kubota L-Series tractors. Quality, comfort, and adaptability all come together in one tough package. These tractors are the core of the Kubota lineup, and Mid-State Power Products is stocked up. Stop into Mid-State Power Products before June 30th to get zero down, 0% APR for 84 months on select new L-Series tractors. Come pick out your Kubota L-Series tractor today. Now through June 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your free retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant investment advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Call us today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Financial Focus Radio. We do really sincerely appreciate you spending some of your weekend with us. Whether it's the spring cleaning time of year, right? So people are headed to Home Depot or whatever to do all those honeydew things on the weekend. I know Josh has a long list, right? To replace the deck. Well, is that going to be you?
Yeah, no.
You're not going to be out there in your short shorts replacing the deck?
I got...
Oh, Tim didn't even hear that.
Got soccer and skiing this weekend.
Oh, tough life. Tough life to be out there.
Yeah.
West Side people problems. So Josh shared this with me. This comes from Jim Bianco at Bianco Research. A foreign vacation is the ultimate thing that no one needs, but everyone wants. As detailed, he said, I've been arguing that after COVID shutdown restart, Americans have a higher propensity to spend. And so what in his chart, he shows the percentage of the U.S. planning a foreign country vacation in the next 6 months is up 23%. Here's what I'll tell you. I don't want to sound like a jackass here. My son was overseas, so that's why I was going overseas. But planes leaving the United States go to Europe are so full now. And the amount of them flying there is crazy. And it really was this like aspirational thing for most people to fly to Europe or anywhere in the world, really, for, you know, prior to COVID, really. And now it's this thing, and that's what people do. And so one of the things that people spend their money on now, especially the baby boomers, because they are the most flush with cash than any generation ever, is they're spending it on experiences. And I'm not here at all to argue against that. I think that is a very worthwhile endeavor to spend your money on, especially as you get older. The one thing that when Josh and I visit our oldest clients to review their portfolios, none of them ever want to talk about their investment account. They want to talk about the experience that they had in their life and the time they spent with family and friends and people that are important to them. And if money can help you do that, we say we are all for that. It's just amazing how it has changed. You go to these European capitals right now, and there's Americans everywhere. I mean, in Spain, they're saying, no mas, like, stop coming.
Literally right today, I can think of my brother-in-law and then two of my buddies are over in Europe. And two of them are childless, and my brother-in-law has a... 8-9-month-old baby, but anecdotally, like, everyone I know is doing it.
Yeah, it is
regardless of income level too, which is kind of the interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, those planes are packed. I remember when I grew up ski racing and started going to Europe when I was younger, and the planes were not that full, and there weren't that many options. And now it's crazy. It's like flying from Seattle to Denver. There's so many planes.
Well, and now you can go to like these peripheral cities direct too. It's definitely expanded, and there's no question that it's an exploding trend. But it's just generally illustrative of the mass excess wealth that this country has.
Especially the baby boomers. I mean, they are just flush with cash, and now they're finally earning interest on their cash, safe money, and so now they have even more.
It's like not even remotely comparable to 5-6 years ago. It's
any time in my life, really. Yeah. All right, we got an email from Dan here in Bend. Dan says, "Hi guys, on a previous show, you mentioned that Vanguard is allowing shareholders of their mutual funds to convert those funds to a like ETF. First, why would I want to make that conversion? And second, how do I do so that it's not taxable?" So Dan is correct. If you go on the Vanguard website, they are allowing like mutual funds to like ETFs on a tax-free conversion. So let's say you own the Vanguard Total Market Stock Index. That is a mutual fund. and you want to convert that to the Vanguard Total Market Stock Index Exchange Traded Fund, they are now allowing you to do that. Now, I would tell you to call Vanguard to have them help you do it so that you get it done correctly. And it has to be at a Vanguard, in a Vanguard account. I don't know about the other custodians if they aren't allowing it. Dan, I assume since you're asking, you probably have money at Vanguard. And so the reason that, for example, we do use some Vanguard ETFs in our client portfolios. Our mid-cap is a Vanguard fund, or an ETF, I mean. And the reason to want to own the exchange-traded fund over the mutual fund, in almost all cases, the ETF is a little bit cheaper. So the funds are obviously very cheap, but the ETFs in most cases are a little bit cheaper. So there's that, which isn't sort of the sole reason. The more important reason is the tax efficiency of the exchange-traded fund versus the mutual fund. And so when you look at, just because of the structure of how a mutual fund exists versus a exchange traded fund, the exchange traded fund, because of the structure of it, is a little bit, or in some cases it's a lot more tax efficient, but in almost all cases it is more tax efficient. And so, Dan, that is, those are the reasons that we would tell you that you might want to go about doing it. It's not a giant difference, but over, Dan, if you're a relatively young guy, over the rest of your life, it could make some real amount of difference in terms of tax efficiency and cost.
This is going to expand dramatically. This is a really this is really topical. BlackRock on Friday actually laid out plans for its first mutual fund to ETF conversion.
Yeah, Vanguard's on the cutting edge. They're the first one allowing.
Doesn't happen till November, but BlackRock, of course, being the biggest issuer of all, they got trillions of assets that are ultimately going to end up in ETFs, and that conversion is their international dividend fund. But that goes over. Doesn't happen until November, but they just filed.
But Dan, just so you know, you can't go from the Vanguard Mid-Cap Index Fund to the Vanguard S&P 500 ETF. It has to be the same exact holdings, the same exact funds. That's the only way that it's going to be a non-taxable event. This email comes from Aaron in Bend. Can my daughter use her 529 funds for summer study abroad in Costa Rica? She will be taking two Spanish classes for credit through her university. She has a minor in Spanish. Good for her. Could she use the 529 for tuition, living expenses, and airfare? What if it all is part of a package deal paid to her university? So Dan, yes, she can use tax-free withdrawals from her 529 college savings plan for study abroad. My son studied abroad last fall. I didn't use his 529, but I could have for the tuition and books and that kind of thing. As long as those classes, in your daughter's case, Aaron, are accepted for credit by her sponsoring university. So for example, if she goes to the University of Oregon and this is a study abroad where she's getting credit from the University of Oregon for those classes, then yes, it is a tax-free withdrawal from her 529. But it has to be credits by the sponsoring university that qualifies for federal financial aid. And the vast majority of U.S. colleges do qualify for this. Other qualifying expenses, books and supplies, a room and board, that's going to be counted, yes, as a free withdrawal, as long as it's at least half time. Other living expenses and transportation costs, including airfare, aren't considered qualifying education expenses, so you cannot pay for her plane ticket. All right, that is our show this week. We appreciate you spending some of your weekend with us. Remember, buy low, sell high. We'll see you next week.
Been listening to Partners of Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management on the radio show Financial Focus. Remember, you can email or call with your questions anytime during the week. Visit northwestquadrantwealth.com for more information. See you next week on Financial Focus.
Any opinions expressed herein are given in good faith and are subject to change without notice and are only correct at the stated date of issue. Past performance is not always indicative of future results. This material is not intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security or other financial instrument. Securities, financial instruments, or strategies mentioned may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, or income from an investment mentioned in this report may fall against the interest of the investor, and the investor may get back less than the amount invested. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as a recommendation of particular securities, financial instruments, or strategies to you. Before acting on any recommendation on this material, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstances, and if necessary, seek professional advice.